You're listening to the On the Move podcast presented by Penske.
Welcome into the On the Move podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Jim Duquette from the field, Wrigley Field, because the World Series has come back to the north side of Chicago for the first time since 1945. Duke, let's start right there. We're ready for game three, series tied at one, but just the excitement of late October baseball in Chicago.
You know, it's hard to believe we're sitting here at a World Series and we're in Chicago at Wrigley Field. You know, it's been so long and such a historic place, and we know the struggles that this team has had, but I'll tell you, I'll never forget the scene that we saw at the end of the NLCS and watching the fans that stayed here and the people that were basically crying as they went on to the World Series. They hadn't witnessed this in their lifetime. They had, you know, parents and grandparents that had gone through the struggles of watching this team and supporting it for so long. It's amazing that we're sitting here and they're only three wins away from celebrating a World Series.
Big news here is Kyle Schwarber, as we record this, is not going to be roaming the outfield here at Wrigley. We're still going to see him, though. The other side of things for Game 3, Carlos Santana for the Indians, still a decision to be made there. It's interesting when you get to the NL Park, these moves have to be figured out.
Yeah, the lineup is totally different for the American League, obviously, for them. They have to make that decision. They'll have to wait and see. It's not like Santana's really swinging the bat all that well in this entire postseason. He's hit a couple of home runs that helped him win games. Well, he's really struggled at the top of that lineup, even down in that five spot when Terry moves him down there. So we'll wait and see what they decide to do. If he goes with the defensive side, or does he want Santana out in, let's say, left field for a couple of at-bats? He told me the other day when I talked to him that he was looking at that as a possibility. We've seen him taking fly balls out there. It remains to be seen with 20-mile-an-hour winds that are expected for Game 3 whether they're willing to do that and put him out there.
Seems like the only time this Cubs offense has kind of been slowed down in this postseason, it's been top of the rotation, ace type guys. Kluber did that obviously in game number one, but now Josh Tomlin goes out there with the curveball that he's now throwing all the time. You got to like the way this Cubs offense is swinging the bat against that kind of pitching.
It is. You know, it's interesting because it was a good matchup, I thought, for them against Bauer, and I feel like it's a good matchup against Tomlin. Now, Tomlin, you know, is no slouch. I mean, he and Hendricks, there are a lot of similarities in how they pitch. They have to pitch to contact. They have to pitch to different quadrants in the zone. So I'm kind of curious to see how this matches up. We know how good the Cubs lineup is. They walked eight times in game two. They had 9 or 10 hits. You know, they're an offensive juggernaut when they're not having to face off against the other team's number one. And so, you know, you look at that and go, all right, Corey Kluber won't come back until game four. Can they get a 2-1 lead and then try to feast on Kluber, try to run up his pitch count in game four because he's going to be coming out on 3 days rest?
This is the On the Move podcast presented by Penske, Tim McMaster, and Jim Duquette. All right, that's a lot of the World Series. There's other stuff going on in baseball as well, though. We have opt-ins, opt-outs coming, some of them already being reported. Let's go with an opt-in. James Shields is going to stay in Chicago, reportedly, with the White Sox. Kind of a no-brainer considering the season that he had. Still a lot of money on that deal. Can he find it again at going into his age 35 season?
You know, I think, obviously, it's one of those where you look at it, and we know Donnie Cooper, the pitching coach there, has had a tremendous amount of success over the years. So I'm going to bet on him finding it at some point. You know, for me, he's one of those guys that he tinkered an awful lot, and I think he lost really what his main mechanics were. And that happens sometimes with veterans. It happens with the young guys, too. And I think Donnie Cooper will get him back on track. He reminds me a little bit of a guy like Samardzija, a little bit older, but similar type guys where they can pitch and keep the ball down in the strike zone. So I'm not surprised. You know, and listen, Chicago's a great place. The White Sox, I think, they're certainly going to try to win. So if I'm Shields, you're making a lot of dough. He struggled and was out on the free agent market the last time. I think it made a lot of sense for him to stay.
John Heyman reporting that Yoenis Cespedes, in news that doesn't surprise anybody, going to opt out with the Mets. Is there a chance he still comes back to the Mets?
You know, I think the Mets are going to play it just like they did last year. They're looking at him, and they're, I think, willing to do a short-term deal with higher AAV like they did, around $25, $27 million, whatever it is, three years, 4 years, something along those lines. And if he's not willing to take that, then they'll let him go and move on and try to find something else. I think there's going to be a lot of other potential offers out there on the table for him. And he's going to have more options than he did last year. So I don't think he's going to wait like he did either. I think they were hoping that if they waited, the price tag would go up, which it normally does for Cespedes, and went down. So we'll see on this. I think they'll play the winter a little bit differently. And I think there's a lot of teams in the National League East that are going to have interest in him.
One more topic for you, Jim. Tory Lavullo, a year ago, had the chance to maybe leave Boston. He's always up for these managerial jobs. But with everything that was happening with John Farrell, off the field with the cancer, I think he really wanted to stick around. But now it seems like he's probably a favorite maybe for that D-backs job. Is this the year where Lavullo finally gets that head, that manager job?
Well, listen, I do think, you know, Tory's had a couple of interviews, and he's certainly impressed people, and it seems like he's one of those guys, it's his time. You know, the interesting thing is, there was some rumor with Mike Hazen being the new general manager there coming from Boston that John Farrell might go with him. Tory and Mike are very close, and I would not be surprised when you look at that interaction, that important interaction between GM and manager, that they have such a good relationship. I find it hard to believe that there would be another guy out there that would get along best with Mike. So I would be very surprised if it's not Tory Lavullo at some point in Arizona managing that club, and wouldn't be surprised if it happens soon.
All right, for Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to the On the Move podcast presented by Penske.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.